My sermon this evening is based on the First Peter reading. Let's start with verse 22. And it reads, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." Love is the strongest emotion known to man. We can talk about love endlessly, but have you ever tried to define the word love and to put it into human words? A five-year-old defined love when she said the following: "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne, and then they go out and they smell each other." Emily, an eight-year-old girl, was asked to define love, and she said the following: "Love is when you kiss all the time. And then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together, and then you talk some more. My mom and dad are like that. They look gross when they kiss." And little four-year-old Lauren says, "I know that my older sister loves me because she gives me all of her old clothes, and then she has to go out and buy new ones." My favorite is from a 13-year-old who said, quote, "It makes me feel good to see my parents holding hands." Love is this magnificent and wonderful gift of the Christian. And as Christians, we can disagree on many things. We can have differing views of the Scripture. We can have differing views of the worship service. However, we are called to put those things aside and love each other as God loves us. We are a people who claim that God is love, and we are supposed to model that love in this world. And this is not to say that love does not exist in the secular world, because it certainly does. A few years ago, a man tells a true story about his cell phone that suddenly went dead. He found this out as he was caught in a major traffic jam. He would be very late for his anniversary dinner that evening. Suddenly, he had an idea. He wrote a message on his laptop asking other motorists to call his wife. He printed this message on a portable inkjet that he had in the car, and then he taped this message to his rear windshield. Finally, hours later, when he arrived home, his wife came, met him at the door, gave him the longest hug ever. She was in tears as she said, "I really think you love me. At least 70 people called me, and they told me so." 70 people called this woman, telling her that her husband was caught in traffic. Another 100 people probably cursed this man for trying to burden them with this dilemma. That's the way this world seems to operate these days. Love seems to be the exception and not the rule. Ask for help in the secular world these days, and while you are drowning, and you're likely to catch an anchor instead of a life jacket. But not always. Of course, we see love in the secular world. It is there. But the difference is that in the secular world, love sometimes is the exception, and it is not the rule. This is a rule for Christians because we are loved by one who makes no exceptions. Jesus said it himself in John 15, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Christ makes no exceptions, and neither can we. And that is being true to yourself. That is your challenge this evening. Love is to be the rule, not the exception. Do you love your family 100% of the time? Do you love your Christian brothers and sisters to the absolute best of your ability? Most of us would probably fail on those two questions. And if love is such this strong emotion, why is it so difficult to sustain it? Do you remember falling in love for the very first time? It's a very personal experience, isn't it? I know a girl who went out on her very first date when she was 16 years old. She would eventually fall in love with this man. She never, ever dated another person. And many years later, she married that first date. That person is my sister, Wendy, and they are still very happily married. That sure didn't happen to me. I didn't even date a girl until I was in my 20s. Couldn't do it, since a requirement of going out on a date was the ability to talk to a girl, which was impossible for me. This was an unfortunate situation. Finally, in my third year of college, I had my first date. This was an arranged blind date that was set up for me with an actual girl. I never saw her before. I eventually fell in love with her. My mom may remember this. She would eventually become the homecoming queen at her university. I have no idea why a homecoming queen would want to go out with me, because she was gorgeous. I still don't believe it. When we broke up 2 years later, I felt that my heart was torn out of my chest. It was then trampled on by a couple horses and then stuffed back into my chest. And I was told, go on now. Resume your life. Fall in love again. Do you remember your first breakup? Fall in love again? And that's what I did. It took years to make it right, but I can appreciate that love now because of those painful experiences that I went through. Yes, I did fall in love again, and now I am being true to myself. But that is a very personal, earthly love. But here, in this text, St. Peter attempts to make a distinction between loving people here on earth and this imperishable love, this spiritual love from God Himself. Let's go back to the text. It mentions this kind of human love. It states this in verse 24, and it reads, "For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall." Because of original sin, we are a depraved humanity. We are like grass. And we are all challenged to love people to the best of our ability, and then we usually fail. And so then we try it again, and this time we are really determined, very focused, and still we turn out to be grass. We wither, and the flowers fall. It is so difficult to sustain that kind of earthly love. As a congregation of God's people, we are called to love one another, to set aside our preconceived notions of who is and who is not acceptable to God, because the ground at the foot of the cross is very, very level. We are all sinners, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. However, because of His overwhelming love for us, we still receive His mercy and His grace. This is the love of God. This is the kind of love that unites us. This is the kind of love that we should share with each other all the time. This is being true to yourself. And this means that our lives must be characterized by love in action. Jesus says, "As I have loved you, love one another." Most authorities tell us that love is a learned response. Just as the abused often becomes the abuser, so the one who is loved learns to love. And that's what we're talking about this evening. Learning to love one another to the fullest ability of our lives. That is our challenge this evening. But this is all in the present. What is the lesson in the future? How can we sustain this true love in the future? Let's go back to our text. In the very last verse of our text, verse 25, it says, "But the word of the Lord will stand forever." Thank God for that word, "but." But the word of the Lord will stand forever. And immediately the tone of this entire sentence changes. It is interrupted. It is cut off. It is like the timpani drums, the symphony drastically changes its mood. It tells us to lift up our voice and sing, "Behold your God!" Exclamation point. The word of the Lord will stand forever. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Is your love today truly a love in action? Is your love a God-like love? Do you still doubt the magnitude of your love? Most of us do. And that is when we need time, quiet time, to listen to the sound of God's voice and let God talk to us in a very personal, quiet way. And that is your challenge this evening. Our love fails on this earthly life. It is an imperfect love, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And we need to attempt to match that love of God, because that love never fails. He never stops loving us, ever. We have witnessed this love by what he accomplished on the cross. Because of that incredible love, we are saved from ourselves. Only God's word and God's love has lasting value. It endures throughout eternity. It stands alone in this earthly world. But the word of the Lord will stand forever. The love that he has for us will stand forever. Our reward is given to us, and it will stand forever. And this is something that we do not deserve. However, it is given to us as a free gift. Treasure that gift, because it is the gift of God. Amen.